2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Use that promo code PODCAST to get 10% off each month of your subscription with us. With that, you get access to the Domination Station, VIP articles and tools, and, of course, the Slack chat, which is open 24/7, 365. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. I'm your host, Sal Walsh. Find me on the Twitter machine, at 14a.walsh. Find Keith Hall over there, at Boomers DFS Daddy. Big 12-game slate, something we've been waiting a long time for. I feel like we're getting those handful slates lately.
Yeah, it's a nice 12-gamer today because there's a 2-gamer tomorrow and then a 10-gamer backed on Friday with an 8 on Saturday. And then we get 2 days off each of the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
Tuesdays and Thursdays are starting to work into a normal lighter slate rotation of fours.
I like those.
Of fours. So Monday, Wednesday, Fridays are the big days now that you'll be getting the pods.
Indeed. And, you know, it comes like that too with football ending. Then, you know, the NBA can kind of get into a little more of a nice schedule. It's funny that I said that too, where I was like, oh, I like those handful slates. I like them when we got to work as hard as we do on these kind of days. It's fun, but, you know, it also makes the contest a lot more fun as well. So definitely looking forward to that. And I will say that today, you know, it's our second podcast, so we don't have as much jibbing and jabbing to do. I know a lot – nobody wants to hear about our lives. It's pretty funny, you know. People are just like, well, then can we get at least some tags going? It's like, yes, we can definitely do that. We can accommodate everyone on this podcast, so –
We can.
I just didn't know that our lives were so boring. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I spend my day with a 21-month-old toddler and, you know, looking
Is he that old already? My goodness, how the time flies, man.
No kidding, right? He'll be 2 in April.
My goodness.
Opening day of Major League Baseball, he will be 2 years old.
Ah, nice. Very nice. All right, well, let's just get right into it today. Again, 12 games, got a lot to get to, so let's do it. Point guard situation became a lot more interesting with a little bit of news that we got just recently. So no Tony Parker tonight. That means DeJounte Murray going to be the big guy there for the Spurs tonight. Not exactly a great matchup for point guards going up against the Sixers this season, but at minimum price there on FanDuel, not sure what he is on DraftKings, but I'm sure he's pretty cheap over there. Again, this is just going to be too hard of a situation to pass up tonight.
Yeah, it's actually it's kind of an easy situation to pass up, to be completely honest. And it has nothing. And I'm not talking for cash games, guys. I'm talking for tournaments. You know, if you're expecting, kind of had a little bit of a burp there. If you're expecting some, you know, ownership to be on DeJounte, even at 3,500. I mean, what are we projecting? I mean, I know what we have him projected at.
Sure. But what's he capable of?
Yeah, like what's his ceiling really going to be? I mean, that's when you start looking at things. That's kind of when you start looking about fading guys in tournaments that are going to be huge chalk. This is something that you have to look at. You have to look at. You know, what can they really do? So let's see here. Against Sacramento, he played 24 minutes, put up 33 fantasy points. Against OKC, played 39 minutes. I do believe that was another situation where he kind of started, put up 44.7. So realistically, that is your ceiling. Now, at 3,500, he puts up a 44 spot, you're dead. In tournaments.
Dead.
Like, you're hoping at that point for a min cash.
Close the coffin. Put the dirt on top.
You know, you're expecting you're expecting one of those things where he doesn't go for 10x.
Right.
If he doesn't hit 8 to 10x, then, you know, you made a smart fade. You know, 25 is not going to kill you. So if you think that he can hit 25, then great for cash, worth the thought of fading in tournaments by all stretch of the imagination. Because even on a 12-game slate now with, you know, him being min price and being at the point guard position, and we've seen this, you know, story before, he's going to garner some ownership. Because that just makes it so much easier to get in now Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Giannis Antetokounmpo, yep. LeBron James, you know, Boogie, you know, wherever you want to go, Murray opens up all of the doors. And
yeah, I'll go.
I was going to say, and that's something that's great for cash games. So if you think that he can get 5x, yeah, I can see fading him.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. A couple of things. If you guys don't know who DeJounte Murray is out there, good versatile player out there. Very, very active in the rebounding game. And
he's, you know, 4,700 on DraftKings, by the way.
Oh, okay. Okay. A little more of a discussion there. So, you know, he's just a guy that gets on the stat sheet a lot of different ways. One thing that I like to look at, I've been doing it a lot more recently than the beginning of the season, but just looking to see some of these teams that turn the ball over a lot. Guess what? Philly, they turn the ball over the most in the NBA by a full turnover, by the second worst team in that regard. So certainly some steals on the board for DeJounte. He could definitely get some blocks as well. Again, on FanDuel, that stuff's pretty important. But again, on DraftKings, again, where he's at a higher price, and, you know, the steals and the blocks don't mean as much. You know, we could certainly have the discussion there. But as of right now, being a full-on FanDuel guy, it's DeJounte all the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's, like I said, for cash games, you know, and for a lot of tournaments. I mean, I'm not saying you should completely fade him, but if you're throwing in, say you're throwing in a 5-entry max,
okay.
I would say, you know, you could play him in 2 to 3. Okay. But take a couple shots at fading him, because it's not a lock that he's going to hit 10x.
Interesting. All right, now we have a couple situations, injury situations. One of the guys, also from a team in Texas there, we're talking about the Houston Rockets. So James Harden's going to be out for this one. Chris Paul going to have full reign of that offense now. 9,900 there on FanDuel. Again, Keith will give you the price check on DraftKings. But this is a situation where it's a great matchup going up against Orlando, one of the best in the league, in fact. You know, again, without Harden, much better pace for Orlando. Also coupled in there with Houston. Orlando running the 7th fastest pace in the league. Houston running the 8th fastest pace. All signs point to Chris Paul having a big night, but with some nice value options at point guard. I wonder if you really have to go up that high.
You want to get crazy in tournaments tonight. You want to get a completely different roster construction. Go Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook.
Oh.
Like, pay up. Because Paul, right now for FanDuel, Chris Paul's the second best value on the board at the point guard position. Mm-hmm. Right behind DeJounte Murray. And, like, I put out the DS before the news hit, and you can tell, like, DeJounte's projection jumped 10 points. And that's just with the initials. Who knows what it's going to be with the rest of them. I mean, you've got to – it's – he's 9,600 on DraftKings. He's 9,900 on FanDuel. This is basically his team for the next, you know, 2 to 4 weeks minimum. There's some other nice options in there, but if you want to be different tonight, pay up for Paul and Westbrook.
Interesting. All right. Another situation that I wanted to take a look at is my own boys there in Brooklyn. So Caris LeVert listed as doubtful for tonight's game. That could open up a nice opportunity here for Spencer Dinwiddie, who, you know, he's been kind of slacking off lately. He had a pretty good game last time out. But if there's no LeVert, you know, there's really not too many other people on that Brooklyn roster that can run the point guard position. And, you know, if you look at the ADVP chart, it shows that point guards against Minnesota are a negative matchup. However, Jeff Teague out of the lineup. You got Tyus Jones in the mix there now. He does have a good rating on the defensive real plus minus, but I know that he's just a little guy. He's not going to be able to do much against a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie defensively.
Yeah, I don't know if I can go there at 6,500. You know, the mid-range is going to be kind of overlooked tonight.
Yep.
You've got a lot of guys that are, you know, in really, really good spots. You've got a lot of guys that you can pivot to off of the chalkier situations. I mean, you got Spencer Dinwiddie there at 64, and then you got Tyus Jones going up against Brooklyn, at 65. Then you got Tyus Jones on the other side going up against Brooklyn at 64. This is another place to get, you know, that you could get crazy. Not really crazy, but get different. You know, pay for both of those guys, ping pong it off of each other in what is a pace up spot for Minnesota. And it's a little bit of a pace down matchup for Brooklyn, but you can still get, you know, you're going to get 30 plus minutes, especially if LeVert's out. You're going to get a bump in usage as well.
Indeed, indeed. All right, let's talk about the Dallas point guards, too, because they're pretty interesting. Dennis Smith Jr., J.J. Barea, both kind of at the same price there. Both guys have been producing well of late. Not a good ADVP matchup for point guards going against Golden State, but, again, both guys are playing so well. I'm not going to be too worried about them.
I can't play anybody against Golden State right now. Not the point guard position. Right. Not that it's a bad play. It's not really where I want to pick up a point guard. Like, if I'm playing a point guard in this game for me, because, like, here's the deal with this, okay?
All right.
Dennis Smith is obviously the quote unquote starter, right?
Yep.
But JJ Barea is priced more. They basically split the minutes, and then you have Harrison Barnes that can bring up the ball. And you have Wesley Matthews, who garners some, you know, some usage, and he initiates the offense from time to time. And then you've got Yogi Ferrell that comes in and gets run, you know, whether it be at the one or the two, that can also run the ball. Like, I love Dennis Smith Jr.
Yep.
Like, I really do. But that's a lot of guys that can, and we didn't even mention Devin Harris, who can come in and play 15 minutes. Like, that's a lot of guys that can initiate the offense. And I just don't, if I'm getting somebody at Golden State against Golden State, and I know Curry's probably hobbled and everything. I get all of that. But with Curry back, that allows Clay to kind of be a little bit more aggressive defensively. That allows them to switch a little bit better. That allows Draymond to kind of be Draymond, and allows Durant to kind of roam freely as well. This is maybe not tonight, but this starts to become one of the more efficient defenses in the NBA again as well, as long as they're clicking on all cylinders. If I'm going down to 5,600 tonight, I think where I'm going to end up going, I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Oh, I love it when he says he can't believe he's going to say this.
I think I'm going to go to Ricky Rubio.
Ricky Rubio?
Yeah.
Against the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah. I think if I'm going to go down to 55, 56, I'm going to go ahead and bite the bullet and go down a little bit farther. I mean, that's just kind of my feelings right now.
Okay.
So.
All right. Now we talked about some of these value options. Let's get to back up to the top of the pricing chart. But we got your boy Russell Westbrook taking aim at the Lakers tonight. Westbrook, an LA guy, going to be playing in LA tonight. The Lakers get a little bit better here tonight. My bet on the depth chart hub, I still had Kentavious Caldwell-Pope out, but he is going to be in tonight. So the defense gets a little tougher, but nothing I'm going to be too worried about with Russell Westbrook. You mentioned about pairing him with Chris Paul. I mean, it's going to be tough to get off a guy like Westbrook at this point, but I don't know, just anything from this matchup specifically that stands out?
The fact that it's the Lakers, this is where he's from. against the Lakers last three seasons. Okay, so if we go back the last three seasons, and I say three because last year obviously would be you know, the first full season without Durant, but Durant missed some time, you know, in 2016 as well. Or 2015, I'm sorry. With, I believe it was an ankle injury, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, that's not important. If we go back to that, he has played the Lakers in LA three times. Okay. 48.6 is his floor, his low point. And that was accomplished in under 30 minutes. In LA.
It's a good place to rest your feet.
Yeah. Let's just say that it doesn't matter. If you want to go against the Pistons, where he could have possibly seen KCP defense, he's put up 56, 56, and 60 against them at 1.2.
Oh, my.
So, I'm not – this offense – this Oklahoma City team has finally figured out what I was screaming right after the Golden State game. Let Russ do Russ, yep, and let these other guys come and be there. You know, let them adjust. Yep. And they've done it. And as you know,
fair enough.
Russ is to that point to where he's now 10-3 again or 12-3. And I still think it's too cheap. If this game somehow stays close, and it's a more likelihood of staying close because of the fact that Andre Robertson isn't going to be out, so is going to be out, so the Oklahoma City defense isn't as good as it is with Robertson and George both in there.
True.
As long as this game stays close, you could see 65-70 from Russ tonight.
I dig it. Now, Stephen Curry came back last game, put up 38 real points in 25 minutes.
That was so tilting.
The Memphis Grizzlies. On Saturday, I actually said, hey, you know what? Why not? Right? In a GPP, why not? The guy could possibly get hot and do that. And look, I am no predictor of the future by any means, but it happened.
Yeah. Do you think that's a little bit mistelling because of the fact that Draymond was ejected in the second quarter?
I really didn't watch any of the game, but I watched the highlights, and yeah, I just think it was one of those situations that, I mean, we've seen this with Curry, right? And we've seen it with Clay at times too as well, where, you know, they just keep feeding the guy that's got the hot hand, and they kind of make it the Stephen Curry show or the Clay Thompson show. So yeah, in a way, I think it's misleading, and you know, why not get your star player back, you know, in the groove in his first game back after an injury? So yeah, I agree. It could be a little misleading, but yeah, you know, I still wanted to mention him. You know, it's a pretty good matchup here against Dallas. I mean, point guards have crushed them all year. You know, so it certainly matters. And also, not only that, we didn't even mention it when we were talking about Golden State a little while ago, but Dre, Iggy, and Pachulia all questionable for tonight's game.
Yeah, that's what scares me. Dre tweaked his ankle in a scrimmage yesterday during practice.
No. Can't be doing that in fake games, Dre.
So we're waiting for morning shoot around to end before we kind of really get a status. I don't know. I think after last night or last game, Curry's going to be a little bit overowned. But he is a nice pivot off of Chris Paul for $100 cheaper. Not quite as good of a matchup. And a completely different situation considering that, you know, he still does have Clay, he still does have Durant there. But make no mistake, Curry opens up the spacing for those two. I'm going to have to wait to see what Draymond is, what the deal is with Draymond before I make a decision on Curry. As of right now, I like him either way, but I might be leaning towards fading Curry or just not playing Curry if Draymond is out.
Okay.
And I know that sounds backwards, but it's just a spacing issue for me.
All right. Two more higher priced guys we got to talk about before we move on to shooting guards. I guess we can do it kind of quick. Kyrie Irving kind of has a big matchup tonight against this team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, he used to play for. You might have heard about them, but big game tonight in Boston. He'll be taking on Cleveland, also on the back end of a back-to-back tonight. So at $9,000 there on FanDuel, what do you think?
I mean, I think even on a 12-game slate, there's two guys in this game that are going to garner some ownership because of the revenge narrative.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get to one here in a little bit. But this one I don't mind as much. Just because he is the first option on the Celtics. And this is almost – have they played this season? I don't think they have.
Yeah, opening night.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They weren't. That's right, because Gordon Hayward. Yeah, they haven't really in the groove of the offense then, and I think tonight could be not that Kyrie needs a coming out party, but this could be like the, especially with this game being in Boston, this could be the stick it to you party.
Okay.
I'm kind of buying into this revenge narrative because he was the one that was asking for a trade and all this other stuff. So I'm kind of buying into this one.
All right. I lied. We have two more guys to discuss. But one, Chris Dunn going up against Toronto. It's a bad matchup. You know, again, the guy's still been successful, though. So I get a quick yay or nay with Dunn.
No, I don't think so. Not tonight.
All right, fair enough. And then I don't know how we saved them last, but I guess you can say the best for last. But what the hell? Jamal Murray has been balling outrageous lately. Looks like 30, at least 30 in five of his last seven games. Taking on the Phoenix Suns tonight, one of the best matchups in the league. I mean, look, we know Jamal Murray is a, you know, we were playing Jamal Murray for a long time when he was like 30 was his ceiling. The guy's starting to get much further above that now. And it's funny, too, because now the Nuggets have a healthy backcourt, so you necessarily wouldn't see that. But going up against Phoenix tonight, yeah, Phoenix back in back-to-back, going into Denver, a very tough situation. I mean, defense is never on their mind, but certainly won't be tonight.
Exactly. This is, I mean, I think that if you've got a full and healthy backcourt for the Denver Nuggets, people kind of jump off of Murray, and this is where I'm not jumping off yet. 7,300. I like the price. I like the matchup. I like the ceiling. I mean, the only question is, you know, with the depth at the point guard position today, with the value in the top end and the mid and everything like that, am I going to be able to fit him into a lineup? I promise you, even though he's got a great matchup tonight, he's going to be low owned.
Going to be under 10%, I think. My God, the point guard position, absolutely loaded today with great matchup. So, yeah, you know, it's funny on DraftKings, you can probably make a lineup where you have like, you know,
three
technically
point guards.
I would even say four, five if
or
you
five,
get a cheat
yeah.
code. Hell, six, why not if we get a cheat code going, right?
Well, I mean, you got Ben Simmons.
Yes, very true, very true.
I mean, Murray's 6,700 over there. I mean, you could legit probably figure it out in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So,
boom shakalaka. All right, let's get to the shooting guards. That was quite a hearty point guard discussion right there. But with these guys tonight, let's start with the Spurs situation, because I think, you know, even myself, I get confused at times who the hell is actually going to be there for them. So Danny Green, he's going to be out along with, you know, pretty much the entire roster tonight. So, I mean, it is a great matchup for shooting guards against Philly. I believe it's a top five matchup according to ADVP. So, I mean, who is that guy? Is it Brandon Paul? Is it going to be somebody else we're not even thinking about?
It's going to be somebody else we're not even thinking about, because it's not going to be either one of them. I mean, I made the adjustments in the DS, and I mean, I've got Paul for 25 minutes and Forbes for 27, and neither one of them are cracking 15 points.
Wow.
I'm just not going there. I don't need to. There's no, I mean, I'm not going to force in value because it's there, you know, right, and they're going to get 27 minutes. If, you know, my projections later end up saying, yay, let's go, then, you know, we'll go from there. But yeah, I'm not gonna force in value when I don't have to, in my opinion.
Indeed. So, all right, let's another great matchup tonight at the shooting guard position. We just talked about Jamal Murray. He's got some friends that are pretty good at basketball. Will Barton, Gary Harris, both in a great matchup here against the Suns. I mean, you don't have anything bad to say about them, do you?
No, I mean, you could legit roster both of them.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't do it in the same lineup, but, I mean, I've literally got them less than a point away in the DS right now, and they have – let me double-check this here real quick. They have the basically fourth best overall matchup on the board. Out of everybody and everything, fourth best matchup. Yeah, I'll take that. They're $100 away from each other. So, like, here's the deal: if you like the rest of your lineup, and you just can't decide between these two. Bite the bullet and play the exact same lineup with just switching out these guys. Build your lineup with Gary Harris and then switch it out for Will Barton, because one of these guys is going to go off.
I would have to agree. I think usually isn't it the case? I mean, you know, obviously not 100% of the time, but Barton the much better GVP guy while Harris is the better cash guy.
Usually that's how it goes, but we've seen Harris hit his ceiling games this year. You know, now that
I gave the disclaimer, it doesn't happen 100% of the time.
I know, but you know, now with Emmanuel Mudiay out of the rotation, I mean, I would say Gary Harris is your cash, but we've seen, I mean, Gary Harris against Boston hit 51. You know, and we've seen Will Barton do the exact same thing. You know, Will Barton was out against Boston, that's why Gary Harris went off, but I mean, against Orlando and Indiana, Will Barton hit 46 and 49. I would say who's more likely to test the ceiling, it's going to be Will Barton. But it's not like Gary Harris is a bad play. He can definitely do it. It's just not as common. Now, with that said, I would not play that either one of these guys with Jamal Murray in the same lineup. Because, Jamal can still do his thing, but it means that he's more likely to go off. And then it's going to be one of these two secondary, but there's a possibility that one of these two eats into Jamal. And you don't want them cannibalizing those lineups, because this isn't like a point guard to power forward or point guard to center situation where you're going to get the assist and the bucket. You know, a lot of times, I mean, these guys play on the perimeter, they drive. So these guys, you know, they're jump shooters, but, you know, very rarely do the assists, come off of, you know, Jamal Murray. These guys create a lot of shots on their own. So.
Gotcha. All right. You know, while we were talking about point guard being so pretty tonight, shooting guard doesn't look as glamorous, but there's still some spots here. I mean, I look at the Houston situation, Eric Gordon kind of at 6,600. I mean, pretty much everyone against Orlando is a good matchup. So my only concern with Gordon is how is he going to work with Chris Paul? I mean, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine at times. But, you know, I don't think that they'll be, you know, eye to eye every single possession like a Harden and a Gordon would be. So I don't know. Any you share the same concerns there or what?
No, I don't, because, I mean, Gordon's done well with Chris Paul in the lineup and without Chris Paul. Wait, whoa. I'm going to have to do some research on that, because Gordon the last two now. No, never mind. He played 42 minutes against the Lakers and only put up 15. I wonder if he just shot bad, or if
he does. He will have those games.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon 6,600. I think is a good play.
Please see second half of Houston Boston game.
Yeah, I think, but he can also get hot.
Yep.
You know, there's value to be had. Excuse me. There's value to be had on this Houston team, and it's a great matchup. Like, it's a fantastic matchup tonight going up against Orlando. I mean, we're going to talk about a couple more guys that I think we can kind of utilize in our lineups as well. And hopefully with all this news coming out, you know, some of these guys kind of get forgotten. Some of the earlier value gets forgotten.
Now here's an interesting one, because we've been talking so much about, you know, the San Antonio value with all their injuries, but I mean, you know, shooting guards have been a pretty decent matchup against the Spurs. Like, nobody really thinks to go against these guys, but earlier this season, I remember before we got the ADVP rolling, you know, they were pretty high up there on the regular DVP chart. But again, you look at tonight's matchup, no Danny Green, you're going to have a different set of guys there in the San Antonio backcourt that could make J.J. Redick kind of interesting, no?
What's J.J.'s price?
54 on FanDuel.
He's 54 on DK too. I think if I'm gonna play JJ,
it was meant to be.
I think if I'm playing JJ, I'm playing him on DraftKings just to get the 3-point bonus.
Okay. I completely agree with that.
I don't think JJ Redick is gonna be in my player pool tonight. I mean, he's, what did we say, 56?
54.
Okay, so he's 5,400. I can go to Rodney Hood for 56. I can go down to, there's not a lot of a love here. I mean, it's just...
I know it's a matchup. You gotta think about it. But all right, we will revisit it. Let's go to before we go.
No, never mind.
No,
I was gonna say. I can go to this guy, but then I realized who he was playing.
All right. Let's go. One more at the middle of the food chain. I'm a little interested in this matchup. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He'll be back in the lineup for the Lakers, but you know, necessarily doesn't have to draw Andre Roberson tonight as a matchup. Any interest here? I know OKC's been doing pretty well defensively, but
is Lonzo Ball playing?
That I don't know. It's questionable.
I think if Lonzo Ball plays, I have interest in KCP.
Okay.
I know that sounds weird, but just because of the fact that Russ will be more locked up. I think Russ is going to be on Clarkson, and I have interest here. It's just he's not.
Okay.
He's not cheap either.
No, not at all. 6,100. But, I mean, look, he's been Mr. Consistency this season. I know the upside is, you know, what's kind of missing from KCP's game. But, I mean, him just being around like 28 to like 31 points. Like, that's his groove. That's his 1-2 step on the dance floor. But,
I mean, he's got it. He's hit 40. I think he's hit 50 at one point this year. I mean, he's got the upside. It's just not – I don't know if this is the matchup for it, especially at this price.
I'm thinking, like, if I'm in KCP's shoes right now, I'm like, damn, like, I'm itching to get back on the court because he just, you know, he missed those two games for illegal BS. So, you know, could be a little more motivation for him tonight. All right. So, just as I don't know why we've been going value first today, but that's just the way I've been looking at it. Let's go back to the top of the food chart when we talk about these shooting guards. DeMar DeRozan had that massive game last time out. He's going to be 9,000, though, on FanDuel going up against Chicago, which is a great matchup for shooting guards, but I'm pretty sure I know your stance here.
Yeah, that's a hard pass.
Fair enough. Donovan Mitchell had a tremendous game against Cleveland, just as many other shooting guards have. He did that his last time out, but tonight he takes on New Orleans, which is also a great matchup for shooting guards. Any interest here?
Yes. I think this is where my interest starts as far as high price guys. Like, I think this, and I know Bradley Beal's going up against the Knicks, but that game could easily just be a John Wall game. And I'm not playing either one of them. They're kind of outpriced my taste. So as far as shooting guards is concerned, this is the only guy I have interest in above, 7,500. Would be Mr. Donovan Mitchell. Everybody else, it starts at Chris Middleton and it works its way down.
Okay. One guy that we didn't mention, Evan Fournier, going up against the Rockets tonight. I'll probably get that matchup with Eric Gordon.
I don't know. Because I want to go look at it and see what his shooting percentage has been since he's come back. Because he had that one good game against Miami, but he had a good game against Detroit. It's not a question of the minutes, it's a question of the health for me. Like, that's where I kind of lie on the Evan Fournier train. And 6,300 is... I mean, realistically, I can go get Marcus Smart for cheaper, JJ, Hood. You could work your way down to Wayne Ellington, Wesley Matthews. If you really have a frog up your butt, then you could go,
Robert.
You know. I don't like going down that far either. I mean, I was going to say Jamal Crawford, J.R. Smith, but, you know, that's...
Yeah.
That's digging a little. That's digging a little deep. So,
all right. Let's move it on to small forwards here tonight. Got some nice value here. Let's start it off with a guy that we talked about yesterday. We weren't sure if Kawhi was going to play or not, but he ended up playing and kind of crushing Kyle Anderson's value. Now Anderson's going to get a huge boost in pretty much everything tonight. All right. You're missing Tony Parker. You're missing Kawhi Leonard. You're missing Danny Green. All right. So forget about Tony. Nobody really cares about him, but with Danny Green out, with Kawhi Leonard out, these are the two spots that Kyle Anderson has been playing at. So he's going to have a lot of minutes on his plate tonight. Good ADVP matchup against Philly for shooting guards and for small forwards. So I think everything's adding up. And remember, he's a Jersey guy, so Philly's not too far from there. A little bit of motivation with some people in the stands watching him tonight as well. I like it in every format tonight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I like it on both sides, every format, whatever. And I think the fact that the sites kind of bumped up their price or his price tonight makes it to where, you know, there's going to be some question onto how much his ownership is going to be. I think the price is going to kind of keep it at bay a little bit. I think more people are going to go to DeJounte and another guy that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. Kyle Anderson, we were on him last night. And guys, I'm just going to put this at bay. If you play Kawhi Leonard in cash, just consider yourself lucky last night. just do it. And I'm glad it worked out for everybody. I really, really am. But you got lucky. Not because Kawhi's a lucky play or anything like that. You got lucky because of the fact that we had not seen him play 30 minutes in a game.
That was what we talked about all day. But not only that, he hadn't reached 30 FanDuel points.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can't say, like, you can sell me on great spot, great tournament option, because he can do this. And, you know, we've seen him go for 27 and 26 and 25 and 20 minutes before. Like, we've seen him go, but he played exactly 30 minutes. That was only two more than what he was projected at. And we had him projected kind of high. He showed up in our optimal lineup, but with Pop and the Spurs and the front end of a back-to-back, and going against the Knicks, who the Spurs are clearly a better team as, he could have easily came out and played 20 minutes. The Spurs could have been blowing them out, and he could have been done in the first.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. So that's just my last thought on that. After that, Kyle Anderson. We saw Rudy Gay's out, guys. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't even mention him. He's out, yeah.
We saw this beginning of the season when Kyle Anderson was in paced-up spots. And make no mistake about it, going against Philly is a paced-up spot. Yes, he's going to see a lot of Robert Covington, but guess what? He can initiate the offense. They're going to run a lot of screens and picks in order to get him free. And he is very, very active on the boards and everything like that. He looks healthy, and this is why they have him. And Kyle Anderson is the reason that the Spurs let Jonathan Simmons walk.
Indeed. I love how you said it. It's like, and he's healthy.
Well,
it's funny because it's like not many of the Spurs are.
Well, yeah, but remember he missed some time. You know, he was 40 guys. This is how they knew what was going on with Cole. This is how much the sites knew. Kyle Anderson was $4,200 yesterday. He had a horrible game, and he jumped $700. He's yep. 56.
No, he's 49 on 50. FanDuel.
No, he's 53 on DraftKings. Oh okay. My God, this is amazing. We were talking about KCP earlier. He's yeah. playing with an ankle bracelet on.
Shut up! I thought that was a joke.
Go look at NBA Talk.
I've seen no. That's shot.
That's not shopped.
No, all right, hold on. That's shocked, right? With a professional athlete, they're not going to have an ankle bracelet on the court when, all right, where's he going, right? Like, this is a worse scenario than for Paul Crewe in The Longest Yard, right? Like, he ain't going anywhere. I mean, you got cameras all over the guy. You got security. No, he's not playing with an ankle bracelet.
I'm going to have to go pull up the game film.
That's shocked. That's a good shot, though, whoever did that. Very good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go pull up the game film.
All right, here's an interesting one that I like. The doesn't necessarily show it, but I have an inkling that it's going to happen. Gerald Green for the Houston Rockets tonight, right?
Oh,
so,
you know, my God. You want to talk about a troll job. This is going. How much Gerald Green tilt do you think we're going to have? Because this is going to be a troll job.
Well, hear me out. So. When we first got, like, the day he got signed, he played 11 minutes for Celtics, or against the Celtics. That third game, back in back to back, they put him out there for 27 minutes, right? Got his run last game, 21 minutes against the Lakers. Well, no James Harden is certainly gonna change a lot of things for this team. And I feel like Gerald Green, you know, he'll probably be that shooting guard right there behind Eric Gordon tonight. So, again, he's a guy that can play multiple spots. Orlando, you know, not necessarily a big lineup that they have out there. So, again, I think Green could get a decent amount of run here tonight. And at 4,000 on FanDuel, man, I really like taking a shot on him in GPPs tonight.
Yeah, I don't mind it. He's going to get run, and not to mention
the ADVP matchup for him tonight. It's golden. Okay, go on.
I don't think anybody's really going to play him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Gerald Green doesn't turn heads. Everybody's going to automatically pivot to Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza and PJ Tucker. And Ryan Anderson and Clint Capella, and they're going to go to every single one of these guys before they go to Gerald Green. And I think Gerald Green is such a sneaky tournament option that it's 100% viable.
Yes. Yes, it is. And here's the other thing, too. Houston, front end of a back-to-back tomorrow they got Golden State, so better than what's going on. Boom, baby. Where you get that analysis elsewhere? Nowhere.
I mean, this is the reason why they signed him. You know, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's a roster exception. I could be wrong. Don't crucify me if he is. But I think it is a roster exception.
Okay.
Yeah, that's photoshopped. I'm sitting here. I just sat here and watched him in the first half of the Clippers game.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, like I said, Paul Crewe had more of a harder time trying to get out of the stadium than KCP had a harder time than Paul Crewe would have. And they had guns, man. So
yeah, it's photoshopped. that's kind of the highlight of my day.
All right, so I know that we were talking about like where we were going into value options first, but I want to go to the top of the food chain here real quick because it is kind of one of the better
options. Here's a question. Let me ask you this. Hold on, because we're still talking about Gerald Green here.
Are we? I was moving on.
No. Because
I thought the KCP ankle bracelet was the bridge to move on.
No, because this is an interesting situation.
All right.
Who are you more likely to pay or play, Gerald Green or PJ Tucker? Same price.
I think you're more likely to play Tucker, but I think that Gerald Green could do very well in this matchup.
Because in my view, I would have to go back and look, but in my view, it looks like Gerald Green has outplayed PJ Tucker since he's gotten into Houston and got some minutes.
Dude, Gerald Green is a very good player. You know, like he just never had the consistency or, you know, the sustainability of an everyday NBA player. But this guy has had some huge games in the past.
Oh, trust me, I know. He used to play for the Thunder.
he also played for the Nets. He also played for,
Celtics and
the Beijing Tigers, like he played everywhere. So, yeah, I mean, the guy's a great, I don't want to say great, but he's a very good talent that could certainly put together a huge night. And I think, we mentioned, but this is GPP winning upside right here for a guy like Gerald Green.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know about GPP winning, but he's not gonna be,
I went there.
Going to be chalk, so you can deal with 4,000 him getting you 25 to 30.
Right.
You don't need the huge multiplier because of the fact that he's not going to be chalky.
All right, fair enough. I think it's a great, nice little combo there, Kyle Anderson, Gerald Green. But all right, let's go to the top of the food chain because Giannis, his price has just massively plummeted now on FanDuel anyway. Not sure about DraftKings, but 11-3 on FanDuel tonight. He's taking on a Pacers team, which, I mean, who's their best defender right now? I guess Lance Stephenson, and he's just more of a pain in the ass. Yeah, he's just more of a pain in the ass than he is a good defender, so... Again, I think that this could be the game. Now, I know Giannis hasn't necessarily broken through with, some of these massive performances lately, but you got to take a look at the teams that he's played as well. I mean, he's played Toronto. He's played OKC. There's another tough match. I don't have the screen up right now.
Honestly, you can take that OKC game, and you could probably jump it up for, if he's not guarded 90% of the time by Andre Robertson, he probably hits 55 to 60.
Yeah.
Like, he's lit us up in the past when Robertson's had to be on Middleton. The way that they worked, the way that OKC worked that defense is they kind of made sure that Robertson didn't get switched off of. And, barring, I think he got into foul trouble at one point in the second quarter. But, it was... like that was Andre Robertson. And then you go to Toronto and you go, okay, now you go from, these are his last three matchups. Okay. Now I have no excuse for the Chicago game. I'm just not, okay. So
I don't remember if they, Chicago beat them that game actually.
Yeah. He just sucked. Okay. So, his last five matchups have been these defenders. Okay. You ready?
All right. Yep.
Charlotte. MKG.
Okay.
Pretty good defender. We don't pick on him a lot, do we?
No.
Chicago. No idea what happened. Good for him. he bombed. Jimmy Butler. Last time I checked, pretty good at defense, right?
World class, Keith.
Yeah. Andre Robertson. Another world class defender. Say what you want about his shot, but he's an elite
world class defender
in the NBA. And then OG Anunoby, which...
a long man.
Not a lot of people know about, but
yeah,
you can live with I think the OKC game was on a short slate and Toronto was on a 4-game slate. So 47's not killing you. Okay. He finally now gets a matchup, a good matchup.
Yeah.
A really good matchup.
Yes. The way you just said, like really good. Yes. Like that.
Yeah, so if he's going to be 5 to 7% owned, I have no problems going to Giannis tonight.
Not at all. And it is interesting, right? I mean, look, we're looking at a guy. You look at his last three games. He played 41, 39, 40 minutes in these games. I mean, that's his neighborhood. That's where he's playing usually. But, again, I don't see any of the minutes coming down. This matchup is just phenomenal. I mean, you look at the Pacers – They're a weak team down low, and the only guy that can really give him any resistance tonight is Lance Stephenson. And, you know, I guess if he blows in his ear too much, he can get hit in the face, but that's about it. You know,
Lance
Stephenson
at one point was a very, very good, high-quality defender. He's not that anymore.
No.
He's not bad, but he's – I just totally just hit my mic, so sorry. He's not bad, but he's not great either.
No.
You know, he's kind of middle, and I don't think that there's – let's see here. Giannis is – and they haven't played each other recently, so I don't have a game log to pull right up. But I'm going to say that it's probably safe to assume that Giannis has fared probably pretty well against the Pacers.
I'm stupid.
Especially now
up.
That there's no Paul George to defend him. Like,
yeah.
Just look at this year.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and let's see here. Three of the last four, he's had at least 50 FanDuel points. The last one, he had 42.4. I don't even know. You know, he played his usual minutes, so not a big deal. But, yeah, I mean, again, he hasn't faced Indiana this season. So,
has he not?
You know, no. All these, because I put in for last 10 games against Indiana, nothing this year, so... you know, nothing against this new crop of shitty defenders from Indiana. So.
Yeah, and he's put up, guys, he's put up 50s, 56, 57, or he's put up 50s against Paul George defense.
Yeah.
Wait, Paul George wasn't there then, and he was probably, no. Paul George played the full year last year, and his leg injury was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, he's a Pacer.
Well, no. I couldn't remember if it was 2 years ago
with
or last
the leg.
Year. Yeah, with the leg.
No, 2 years.
Okay, so last year he faced Paul George 4 times. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He put up a 42, a 50, a 51, and a 57. Vandal points. Before that, it wasn't the same Giannis. I have no problems with Giannis tonight.
All right. So basically, those are like the better value, right? It's weird that we put Giannis in that value category with Anderson and a guy like Joe Green. But hey, let's not forget, man, we got some studs tonight at the small forward position. So I'm gonna rattle them off. You let me know, you know, who, yeah or nay. But so we've got LeBron going into Boston tonight, back in a back-to-back. You got KD at Dallas. You got Jimmy Butler at Brooklyn in a tremendous pace-up matchup. Paul George, also an L.A. guy, facing the Lakers tonight. Great ADVP matchup, by the way. And then you got T.J. Warren, who I think is kind of interesting. You got Booker. Now, you know what? Let's cross him off. Back in, back-to-back, going into Denver. We don't really need to take that chance.
Yeah, all we're right, not so, going to. The only guy – let's just go ahead and squash this bug. The only guy that's available for – the only guy that I'm even thinking about playing for the Phoenix Suns, and it's only if we get word, is Greg Monroe. He's only one.
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody else is out. Everybody else is out for me. But out of those guys, what do you say, top five, I guess?
Yeah, so I had LeBron, KD, Butler, and Paul George, top four.
They're all in play.
Yeah.
And they all have 55-point upside minimum. I mean, Paul George, I don't think can hit 65 unless he goes for 40 points again, which is, if this game is high scoring and stays close, he could definitely do that. I love the idea of pairing up because I don't like, we've talked a lot about pairs, now, and that's kind of a way we can gain an edge. I love the idea of pairing up Russell Westbrook and, Paul George, because we've seen that they both can have really good games in the same lineup together. At the same time, in the same game. And so I love that idea. Jimmy Butler against Brooklyn's very, very hard to pass up, even at the elevated price tag. Kevin Durant has now gotten cheaper, but has Curry in the lineup. That creates a better spacing option or options for him. So yeah. I think he's in play. And then who's going to – like, you think LeBron's going to let Kyrie take over a game and hit and not have a say in it? Yeah, right.
Hell no. One interesting caveat too with Jimmy Butler that we did not mention. Damari Carroll listed as questionable for tonight's game. So if he's out, that's just going to be a cakewalk matchup for Butler because I don't know who on Brooklyn would even think about stepping to Jimmy B.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be remiss if I did not mention my boy Jay Rich, Josh Richardson. It's going to be tough to go to him because you got a lot of nice pieces there at the lower rung of the small forward position. And then, you know, we just mentioned all the talent there at small forward. But again, Miami still has the injuries to James Johnson, Deion Waiters. I believe somebody else I'm missing there too. But
Justice Winslow.
And, you know, that's a good ADVP matchup for him. He's probably going to draw Reggie Bullock with with Avery Bradley back for the Pistons tonight. So I think it's a good matchup. But, again, there's so much talent at the top at small forward tonight.
Yeah, I mean, and you have Trevor Ariza going against Orlando, $400 yeah. cheaper. You've got,
good point.
You know, on the other side of that, Jonathan Simmons at the same price as Josh. I know the difference. You've got freaking Robert Covington that's cheaper, you know, going up against San Antonio now without Kawhi.
That's your boy Otto, too.
You know, you've got Otto. I don't think tonight's an Otto night, but he's there.
By the way, we combined to be Otto whisperers. So I remember the one night, he got off to such a hot start, and then he cooled down. And then I remember you had him in all caps in your notes the next night, and he went bananas. So yep. I feel like I gave you, like, I was the guy giving you a push on your bike, and you finally got the two-wheeler gone.
There you go.
Horrible analogy, but that's what it was.
You know, you've got Kyle Anderson. Like, I know the track record with Josh Richardson, and I know he does not perform quite as well with Whiteside back in the lineup.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Oh yeah, if those other guys weren't injured, it's not even a discussion.
Right. You know, Whiteside even playing 25 minutes. He's been back since the Orlando game. The Orlando game, he only played 17 minutes, which allowed, you know, Richardson to still kind of do his thing. The other two games where he's gotten over 20 minutes against Brooklyn and Orlando again, 25 and 31. I mean, I'm not a big fan, especially now at an elevated price tag. Like, no, I'm just not going to go there. Okay. It's just not even an option.
Speaking of Whiteside, being able to watch the Heat a couple days ago in person, him and Dragic run a beautiful two-man game in enclosed spaces. So good to
now
just
if,
had to mention that.
Now if Whiteside could only learn to stop and pop,
yeah,
to where they could run more. They could run a pick and pop game too.
Well, hey, tonight will be his fourth game back from injury. So yeah, he's getting back in the groove of things. We'll see. All right, that certainly does it for small forwards because we are loaded at the top there. But let's talk about some power forwards. Nothing really popped off the page to me yet. But anything for you yet?
Small forward is interesting because I want to know
– power forward.
Power forward is interesting because I want to know what Kyle Kuzma's status is.
All right.
Like, this is what's going to make or break it. it's tough because, like, I like Serge Ibaka tonight. The guys that I like are on the lower end of the spectrum, and we'll talk about one guy here in just a moment, but the guys that I like are on the lower end of the spectrum at the power forward position. You can say Draymond, you know, he's under 8K.
If he plays.
You know, Ben Simmons, I want to know if Joel Embiid's in on whether or not you know, he's going to play. Kristaps over 9K on the 12-game slate. No, thank you. I mean,
on the back end of a back-to-back.
Yeah, and on the back end of a back-to-back. I mean, this is not – for everything that point guard was, power forward is not.
I tell you what, and it popped up like a light bulb in my head, and you know, maybe I know that the Knicks have been pretty careful with Porzingis on the back end of a back-to-back, so this might be a Michael Beasley game if Porzingis ends up not playing. And I think it might even be in any event, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, I can see the Knicks kind of just, you know, pulling the reins on Porzingis a little bit tonight. They got Washington, a pretty good team. They could certainly, you know, make a run at this game and, you know, handle it pretty early. But I would certainly keep an eye out for that kind of news today. One guy that I really liked, I mean, Trey Lyles, any power forward going up against the Phoenix Suns is a fantastic matchup. So, again, you know, we've been saying this about Lyles over the last couple of weeks, but it's a rare opportunity for a Nuggets player to consistently have his minutes right in that 30-minute mark. So, you know, we might as well strike while that iron is hot.
Yeah, he's separated himself, and, you know, he's, you know, because of the fact that Paul Millsap's missed a lot of time, it's going to be a very, very, very fun discussion because yep. Do you really honestly think that anybody is going to play Trey Lyles at 6,300 tonight?
I don't think so. Here's another extra caveat too. Phoenix going in there on the back end of a back-to-back. Let's say they get smoked early on. Lyles, not a starter, gets himself some extra run. Boom, shakalaka.
Yeah, but – and I don't think – like, that's the only scenario where I think people might actually try to get cute and play him. Mm-hmm. Not that playing him is getting cute, but what I'm saying is like, if we get word that Kyle Kuzma is in and he looked good in shoot-around, and I haven't checked, so we don't know, then he's $200 cheaper going up against Oklahoma City in the Hammer game.
Mm.
That's going to lower Trail Isle's ownership. So, yeah.
Interesting. Now, here's another. There's just so much interest, Keith. You know, it's an interesting podcast. But now, no Kawhi Leonard tonight for the Spurs. A lot of these, you know, main pieces out for the Spurs. So, LaMarcus Aldridge could have all that usage to himself. You know, not a great ADVP matchup for power forwards going up against Philly, but I don't totally buy that. I think Joel Embiid has a little bit to do with it. He's doubtful for tonight's game with the hand injury. I like some LMA tonight, especially without Kawhi there.
I don't. And here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. I can go get Davis Bertans because there's no telling what if this game in any way situation, like in any way, shape, form, or fashion, Powell and LMA are getting rested in the second half. We've seen it. We've seen it this year, and I'm not – not taking that chance. Not when I can go get Davis Bertans.
All right. Another interesting situation to take a look at tonight. Nikola Mirotic is listed as questionable. Upper body injury for him. So that could create a lot more minutes for Lauri Markkanen at 5,400. And then even in that scenario too, you really can't forget about Bobby Portis. Again, just a good ADVP matchup for power forwards going up against Toronto this season. So hey, I'm there. I am certainly there on Markkanen if Mirotic is out, but I could certainly make some room for the free Bobby Portis movement if he's out as well.
There was somebody just posted something. It said that Mirotic was says he has no problem that Hoiberg decided to go with Markkanen and Lopez down the stretch. Mirotic said that he's dealing with a bit of a rib muscle injury, but he was fine to play. Mm-hmm. Now that could, you know, here's the situation: is he's 6,800? He only played 18 minutes. He still put up 35 fantasy points against Portland. That's Al Farouq Aminu, guys. That is a tough matchup. But yeah. here's the other part of this situation: is Mirotić wants the ball. I was listening to SiriusXM Radio NBA Radio yesterday. Mm-hmm. Blah 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 blah.
But, is that a recommended listen for the people?
Yeah, it was like Off the Dribbler or something like that. It had Brendan Haywood and
Haywood, UNC guy. Boo.
Yeah, it's
bad guy.
It's but they were talking about they were talking to the former GM of the Cavs, and they were talking about this situation right here, and they said, you know what, the best situation for you and for us is for you to go out and ball. And it's what we talk about a lot. It's showcase.
Right.
He wants to showcase. Why? Because they've got a guy that can step in and take his spot in Lauri Markkanen. They've already said they're not getting rid of Bobby Portis. The only guy that the odd man out is going to be Nikola Mirotic. But in order for them to get the maximum out of him, he needs to go out and play very good basketball so he can build up his value.
Yeah. And that's really interesting because I was listening to a Nets podcast the other day, and they said that there's a trade coming within 2 weeks. It could happen, what they meant from now until 2 weeks away, it could probably happen. But that's interesting because I kind of figured that Mirotić might be one of the guys in there, and he fits in well with Brooklyn style, shooting threes and, just being a totally offensive guy. So, yeah, that's interesting. And I wonder if, a guy like Okafor might be in – who, by the way, is going to finally get some minutes with the Nets tonight, Jahlil Okafor. So, should be interesting to see what happens.
And he's now listed as probable, by the way.
Who's that? Mirotić?
Yeah.
All right. Gotcha. All right. And one more situation I want to take a look at. We mentioned that Joel Embiid is going to be doubtful for tonight's game.
It's automatic.
Well, Saric, but again, if LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be there, I'm not a huge fan of that matchup. And Dario has gone up to 7,000 on FanDuel. So.
Oh, I know, but I wasn't even talking about him. There's three situations that almost become pretty much automatic when Embiid misses, and we know one of them is usually Saric. But Saric,
right.
the sites, or at least FanDuel has. I'm looking on. Saric is 68. So the sites have done a pretty good job about pricing Saric up now because they know that that becomes an automatic chalk situation. But here's the thing is Ben Simmons becomes unplayable.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the point guard position. I don't care. He becomes unplayable because he doesn't have a jumper. And he can't shoot free throws. So without Embiid there to help him and to help the spacing on the floor, he's not unplayable. But then we can sit there and we can go to Amir Johnson or Rashawn Holmes.
Sure.
So it becomes a three-part situation if Embiid misses. Hold on, I just had him up. Amir Johnson's only 3,600. Rashawn Holmes is 4,100. I mean, these are two situations where, this can get you off of the San Antonio value and get you a little bit different in the same game. This game is loaded with value, and it just becomes don't be stupid with it. Don't go overboard, but don't ignore it either. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, I lied. One more guy I want to talk about, Aaron Gordon against Houston. I know it's a negative ADDP matchup for power forwards against Houston this season, which is interesting because, really Ryan Anderson is doing a whole lot, but I guess they're doing it as a team. But
yeah, that's
a
complete total team defense.
Yeah, I still, I feel like nobody talks about the fact of Aaron Gordon in there without Nikola Vucevic. I know that Bismack is in there cleaning up some rebounds, but you look at Aaron Gordon these three games since he came back from injury, 7-7-12 in his rebounds over these last three games. I think he's just a much more viable scorer there without Nikola Vucevic. So I don't know how you feel about him tonight.
I don't mind it. It's a little pricey.
Mm-hmm.
8,000 with all this value is very, very hard. It's very difficult, but it is viable. It's in play. You've got to think about it, but it is in play. I don't think he's going to be highly owned at all tonight with some of the value. And then you turn around and you go to, okay, this value allows me to go up and get Chris Paul. It allows me to go up and get Giannis. It allows me to go up and get Westbrook. So that's kind of how that all becomes. So I think 8K is a nice price. I think it's fair. I think he's going to be low owned, and I think he's an amazing tournament play because he can go for 45.
Absolutely. And you look at his minutes in the three games since coming back, 30, 35, 40. So, everything seems to be all right with him. Again, I'm a liar. When talking about Aaron Gordon, I thought about this guy, Ryan Anderson, tonight. I mean, again, more three-point opportunities without Harden out of the lineup. We know that Aaron Gordon is a terrible defender. I mean, real quick, yay or nay?
I can see it in tournaments at 4,300. I have no problems with it.
And it's not a red court. He's got the blue and the black, baby.
Yeah.
The black and the blue.
The problem is like, how chalky is he going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't really listen to the industry at all. I just, you know, march to the beat of my own drum. So you would have a better idea of that.
I don't think he's going to be very chalky. But, you know, without – like, this offense has got to change a little bit considering the fact that Harden's not out of the lineup. I mean, they're not going to take as many threes now. You've got – some of these guys are, you know, but they've got to make up for a lot of production. So, I mean, I can see it paying off. But he's not somebody I want to – I'm not running to go get Ryan Anderson when I don't need to. I can go get guys like Davis Bertans. I can go get guys like we didn't even talk about that guy. That's hilarious. I can go get guys like Amir Johnson if what's his nuts is out. So I mean, I don't think you have to go there, but he is an option and a really good one at that.
All right. Let's move it on to the centers. Take this baby home. What are we looking at here?
I mean, you got to start off with Boogie, right? Boogie and Cat.
Sure.
I mean, Cat's under 10K going up against Brooklyn. This is a place where I can play Cat. I can also play Jokic at 99.
Sure.
I mean.
Oh, hold up. Narrative for Cat. He's a Jersey guy. Coming home.
Oh, congrats.
Indeed.
I mean, realistically, you could play Steven Adams against the Lakers. You could play Horford against the Cavs. Capella against Orlando. I mean, there's a lot of a lot of options here tonight.
I like I just went with Capella real quick. When you look at the NBA depth chart hub out there today, you will see a resounding difference in the rebound matchup for the Rockets and the Magic tonight. So keep that in mind.
Yep, and I mean you can also play Rashawn Holmes if that's where you want to go to save your money tonight is center. I don't think that's smart, but you can. I mean, I have no problems playing Boogie in Utah against Rudy Gobertless Jazz team that plays up in pace now.
I like that, Rudy Gobertless.
You know, I think that he's going to be lower owned because of that. I think Karl Anthony Towns is a great option. I think Nikola Jokic is just as good. Like, there's a lot of guys that you can go to. And the key today is going to be roster construction. There's value at pretty much every single
position.
So
you had to draw it out for that. You know what? I had a Nikola Jokic vision last night, and it was kind of confirmed this morning because when I do the ranks for these different teams, I wait until the morning to make sure that they're fresh. But here's an interesting number here to look at. So Denver this season, they have the number one rebounding rate in the NBA. They're number two in offensive rebounds. But you take a look at Phoenix, and they are the fourth worst defensive rebounding team in the NBA this season. Now they'll be missing Tyson Chandler tonight, by far their best rebounder. I think this could be a huge night. And we've seen Jokic have a huge performance against a team that came in on the back end of a back-to-back. You know, he just went bananas in that game. They let him go with it. That team, I remember it so well because it was the Nets. But Jokic put up, I think it was like 77 on him that night. So he certainly is capable of going nuts. And I love that rebounding number that we have there on the depth chart hub that just shows clearly that this could be a huge night for Jokic and possibly even on some cleanups on some of those offensive rebound putbacks. So I dig it, man.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Any other Any other centers that we got here? I know we kind of, you know, we always leave that one for last and don't go too much into it, but there are some good spots. That one that you mentioned about Karl Anthony Towns, again, you know, the Nets are going to have Jahlil Okafor in there tonight. He's not a good defender. I don't know how many minutes they're going to play Okafor yet. It's probably not going to be a lot, but, you know, every little bit help, every little bit counts in a great matchup like that. So I certainly dig that. I think even Bismack Biyombo against the Rockets tonight. I know he's priced all the way up to 6,700, but the Rockets have been pretty bad against centers this season. That's certainly somewhere I could see myself going. Kevin Love and Beantown.
I don't know. Not really.
All right. I was trying to get you excited about it.
Yeah, it was just too much for me to go back to Kevin Love. I mean, I played Kevin Love last night, but I don't think so.
And here's one that we didn't mention. Nice little matchup there tonight in Miami, where I'm at, where you got Whiteside and Drummond going head-to-head against each other. Again, I've talked about this, kind of beat it into the ground, but these teams, you know, like going up against the bigs, they need to be in there. They need to be in there against that guy. So I think Whiteside, probably not Whiteside, the guy that I would go with, but I think Drummond could have a nice night tonight. Probably going to get some blocks against Whiteside in there. So
that's a hard price to pay at $10K. Though.
It is, my friend. But hey, you know, as you said, it's all about roster construction tonight.
Yep. Okay. So yeah, there's some injury news that we're going to have to update in the Slack channel. So.
All right, we will do that. All right, folks, once again, if you like what you heard, you want to join us 24/7, you can do so. Go to dfsarmy.com. You can use the promo code podcast to get yourself 10% off each month of your subscription. That'll do it today for this Wednesday podcast. We are off tomorrow for the two-game slate, but we're back. You can hear our lovely voices once again on Friday. So for me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.